It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Money for Lunch, where leaders come to eat. That's right. Hey, we actually do get some of the biggest names out there. We've had people like Donald Trump, Carlos Slim, Jack Canfield, Joe Vitale on the show. We've had Muriel Hemingway, several other actor types that it's just been a lot of fun to have on the show and get a little peek to how they think, how they feel, how they live. Anyway, my next guest, Jacqueline Newman, the managing partner at Berkman Bakker.
Newman, yeah.
And Rod, a matrimonial law firm in Manhattan that practices exclusively divorce law and prenuptial agreements. Jacqueline Newman, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's talk about this. What is collaborative law?
Collaborative law is one of the different process choices for getting divorced. Basically, I tell people there's three ways to get divorced. There's mediation, where you deal with one person who's a neutral. There's collaborative law, which is what we're going to be talking about. And then there's litigation, which is, you know, what you see on TV. Collaborative law is where you work with collaboratively trained attorneys. Generally, they're trained by, in New York at least, by what's called the NYACP, which is the New York Association of Collaborative Professionals. Go through a lot of training. And the parties would both have their own collaborative attorney in the room. You sign what's called a participation agreement. In a participation agreement, you make an agreement that you're not going to go to court. Now, collaborative law is a voluntary process, so either party can decide they don't want to do it any longer. And should that occur, then they cannot use their same attorneys in court. So you have to start all over. So there's a really big push on settlement. And the other thing that's great about collaborative law is that they have what's called an interdisciplinary approach, where you bring in specialists such as a divorce coach, which is a therapist trained in the collaborative model. You can have a financial neutral, also trained, and then a child specialist, if applicable. So you can have this, you know, big team that could really work and specialize with the parties for exactly what their needs are.
All right. Every time you said a new specialist, all I could think of is more money, more money, more money. How is this better or different than just getting a divorce?
Well, it can – well, let's just back up for a second. When we're talking about litigation, there's nothing that's going to be more expensive than litigation. Litigation, you know, when you're in court, I mean, the fees just rack up. And, you know,
right.
Part of it is because the court systems are, you know, quite defunct, being with the budget cuts and everything going on, that you have attorneys that are sitting around, and you're still billing at your hourly rate while you're sitting there. So, you know, that's where your fees will really accumulate, not to mention the fact that – you know, it's a nasty process to begin with.
Sure.
So when you're dealing with collaborative law, I'm not going to sit and say that it's, you know, it's a cheap way to go about it. I think divorce in general is usually on the more expensive side. But what you can do, especially with the interdisciplinary approach and having the professionals, is that they can really kind of tag in on the issues that really exist. So, for example, I always say, as the attorney, I'm the most expensive player on the team. So I'd much rather you work with, say, a financial neutral, you know, an accountant who's trained in this, who's somebody who understands a collaborative model, but also is less expensive for me than I am on an hourly basis and specializes in it. They know how to, you know, run the sheets, run the numbers, run the tax, you know, the tax implications of divorce. So they can do it, you know, much more targeted and, you know, and specialized for the parties that are going through this process. So it can, it sounds expensive and it feels expensive, I think, in the beginning. But when you look at the cost differential between a collaborative, you know, divorce and then you look at what a litigation divorce is, I mean, I think that you're definitely getting this for a less expensive price. Plus, I always say in litigation, you got to factor in years and years of therapy. And that's another number that you
got to
put in.
You know what I like about this collaborative divorce is that it sounds like the therapy is almost kind of built in, right?
You get trained in it. I mean, there's a lot of training that goes with it. I mean, I always make jokes to my clients, I'm the most expensive therapist. But I think if you can actually work with, you know, collaborative professionals, especially the divorce coaches, which are people that, you know, specifically say, I'm not going to be, you know, your therapist, because you do get clients that will say, I already have a therapist, I don't need a divorce coach. But
right.
These people are trained in the process, and they understand the way it works. They understand, you know, the pitfalls that people are going to throw in. And, you know, in New York, for an example, you know, as in most states, New York's a no-fault state. And one of the big issues that comes up in divorce is, you know, cheating and adultery. And you have clients who have to understand, you know, courts don't take that into consideration, at least in New York. So that is usually a very hard pill to swallow. And I find that divorce coaches can be very helpful in something like that. It's something they understand, where therapists who are not trained in, you know, the divorce model wouldn't understand that. So I think that that's always, you know, something that's helpful. And, you know, the other thing with the divorce coaching, you speak about the therapy, I say often that, you know, what I think causes a lot of divorce is just really miscommunication. People forget how to communicate. They, you know, people start speaking Swahili to each other and they don't understand. And I call the coaches, you know, the translators. They can really be there and they can put people more on the same page when, you know, they're not to begin with, to say the least.
Right. You know, and it's so funny you should mention that. My wife and I joke about that because her and I will sometimes get really frustrated with each other because we're kind of saying the same thing. But her interpretation and my interpretation are completely, as you said, in Swahili.
Yeah.
And I have to sit back and chuckle. I said, how did we get this far apart? We're kind of saying the same thing.
It really is amazing. You know, I do collaborative law, mediation, and litigation. So because I do all three process choices, I can really kind of give you a spectrum and, you know, what's best for which situation. But when I've done mediation, I literally have sat there and watched clients say what I hear to be exactly the same thing. And then when I repeat it back to them and I say, well, what I'm hearing is blah, 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 they're both like, yes. And I'm like, well, now I'm saying the same thing. But people really, you know, it's when you hear it from somebody else who you have whatever feelings you have in history with, sometimes you're not hearing the words, you're just hearing, you know, the tone or whatever it is that's going on.
That's right. Well, okay, so let me ask you this. Since you mentioned that you do mediation and as well as this collaborative law thing, divorce thing, what's the real difference? I mean, is it because you have all these other experts come in and help kind of coach certain parts of the experience? What's the real difference between this collaborative divorce versus mediation?
That can be one of the differences. The real difference is that in mediation, typically, it's the clients and the one attorney or whoever is acting as the mediator. And mediators are neutral. So the difference is that you don't have an attorney with you in the room. And in collaborative, you know, sometimes people feel like they want to have that person in their corner. And collaborative, you know, you do have your representative there. In mediation, as I said, it's usually three people in the room. You'll still have, you know, at least when I do mediation, I want people to have outside counsel because if I'm acting as a neutral, I'm not in a position to give advice. And I feel like it's important to have somebody on the outside who's able to say, no, this isn't how it should go, or maybe you should think this through. But as a mediator, you're much more neutral. And mediation doesn't work, or at least I find that it's challenged when you have somebody who can't be present in the room, when there's a big power imbalance in the parties, and you have someone who just kind of nods his or her head, yes, but really doesn't mean that, the mediation process doesn't work. But when you have an attorney with you, you can tell the attorney, you know, I'm going to say yes, but I really don't mean it, and that person can ultimately say that to the whole room.
Hey, well, let me ask you this, because you mentioned that litigation is sometimes can be very expensive and also can take a lot of time. With your experience, would the collaborative law work for everybody, meaning high net worth type cases, these big celebrity cases? What's your take on this? Is it good for everybody or just a few select people?
I think it's good for everybody, you know, assuming that this is where these people are. I mean, you have to mentally be ready to work on your case and not just be out for blood. But I do think, I think it's actually better for the high net worth. I mean, my firm, you know, we do specialize in high net worth cases, so, and we do a ton of collaborative law. And one of the things that's nice for people that, you know, are very high ranked in their businesses or own their own businesses or, you know, a lot of the hedge fund people and things like that is that they can control the schedule. A court doesn't care that you may have an enormous meeting that can make or break your career. They're like, you're going to be here at 9:15 and sit around like everybody else. And the other thing is it's private. You know, courts, they say that, you know, court records are sealed for 100 years, but anyone can walk into a courtroom. And, you know, and they're, you know, you're saying people's numbers, you're saying people's names, you're saying all sorts of things, and people can just sit and watch. And, you know, a lot of the high net worth and, you know, celebrity clientele and things like, they don't want this to be tried in the papers. So it keeps things quiet. It's much more amicable, you know, and if there are children involved, you know, celebrity, high net worth, low net, whatever it is, you want to be able to co-parent with this person in some way. And I think that the collaborative law really sets you up for that in a way that's just very different than litigation.
I love
so
that.
I
think that this collaborative law divorce, I'm sorry, is probably the way to go, because you mentioned some of the things that you see, that you hear about on these on TV, and it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, what do you call it, nominal worth or high net worth. You have people who are out for blood no matter what. They're never wrong. They're going to use the children as pawns.
Which is
and
awful.
Probably those people may not choose to go through the collaborative experience, right? That's what I'm just thinking.
Right.
But if you are really trying to have an amicable experience, this is a great way.
Yeah, it's a self-selecting process, there's no question. But and it's voluntary. Both people have to be on the same page. So at any time, one person can say, I don't want to do this anymore. But I find that, you know, a lot of people have this image of court. They think they're going to go in, you know, husband cheats on a wife kind of thing, and they're going to go in, and the court's going to be, think that is the worst thing they've ever heard, and they're going to hate him, and they're going to be like, you know, and they're going to slap him, and she's going to get all the money, and he'll never see his kids, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that doesn't happen. And I think that that is a really big shock for people. And courts are just like, yeah, you know, tell me something I haven't heard 12 times already today.
Right.
It's just not, you know, courts aren't going to hate the spouse. They're just not. They don't have enough time to hate the spouse. So, you know, you're just not going to, people say their day in court, and it's just not, you know, as romantic as one might think it might be. And people, I've rarely ever seen a client, mine or anyone else's, that has walked out saying, wow, I'm really glad we did this in court.
Yeah. Man, that was so good. I finally have closure.
Yeah, no. And then you have a spouse who hates you. And not to mention, I mean, you know, I don't care how much money you have. I always say litigation's a luxury that no one can really afford. It really just is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of almost shocking to hear an attorney say that.
Yeah, well, because, you know, at the end of the day, I would like my clients, I want to sleep at night, and I want my clients to be happy, and I want to know, you know, you develop relationships with them, and you want
right.
to know that they move on okay, and especially when there's kids. I mean, I think for me, the kids is one of the biggest pieces of this, is that you want to know that, you know, you're both going to walk the daughter down the aisle, and, you know, family events are not going to be so incredibly traumatic. And I think that, you know, one of my big stories that I use a lot with collaborative divorce is I had a case once where, I'm not going to say the parties, you know, the parties couldn't even be in the room together at first. And I'm not going to say this was an easy process and everyone was holding hands, but throughout it, and working with, you know, the coaches and working with, you know, there were financial knowledge and balance. The wife really wasn't aware of the finances. So using a neutral was somebody that made her feel safer in the process. And throughout it, they really learned how to be able to speak to each other again. There was some more trust that was built, and we were able to settle the case. And again, not saying that everyone's going to have family dinners every Sunday night, but I am very confident that the two of them will be able to be at family, you know, big events, that I think that, you know, they're really going to be okay. And
right.
I don't think that would have happened if it was any other kind of process.
Yeah. You know, and I'm glad to hear about this, because really most families that get divorced nowadays, kids are involved. And unless a spouse is somehow abused the children to use them as pawns, it's just such a horrible thing.
Horrible.
For both,
and, you know,
for everybody.
And people think is, children are very, very smart. And I think that parents don't give their children enough credit to know that, you know, they say, well, I didn't call them a bad name in front of the child. But children pick up on tones. They pick up on everything. I mean,
right.
Even young children. And, you know, parents just, they don't, you know, I say a lot of times when you're going through a divorce, and I don't fault anyone for this because it's a terrible process, but there's an element of narcissism that exists. And, you know, especially when there's, you know, cheating, I find that a lot of times a spouse will feel, well, if they really love the kids, they wouldn't break up this family. Or if they really love the kids, they wouldn't do this, or they wouldn't do that, or they wouldn't have cheated on the whole family. And it's a very hard thing for a parent to understand, that just because someone's a bad spouse doesn't make them a bad parent. And that's, I think that's a very tough pill to swallow when you've been so hurt and feel so betrayed. And it works both ways with, you know, husband and wife,
sure.
wife to husband. But I think that, you know, working through this and working through this in a, you know, in a respectful and amicable, I mean, as amicable as these things can be, I just think it gives so much more respect to the marriage and respect to your children. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I love it. I love it. You know, really, it's, you're opening a new chapter. Let's start this chapter off on the right best
yeah.
foot we can, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Jacqueline Newman, we're out of time.
Okay.
I love this concept of the collaborative divorce. Guys, if you have questions, check out Jacqueline Newman at Berk Bott, that's BERK Bott, BOT.com. Jacqueline Newman, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing.
Thank you so much, Bert. It was nice speaking with you.
All righty. Guys, we're off and running. Great stuff there. Something I never even heard about, this collaborative divorce, kind of a neat thing. Thank you for stopping by. As always, we appreciate you being here. And I'm looking for the right little button to press because we are out of time.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.